red hot fire brimstone sermon, but I do have something that the Lord has laid on my heart. And so if you would turn there in your Bible to the book of Luke chapter number 8, and I want to preach on this sermon title, The Gift That Keeps On Giving. Luke chapter number 8, and we're going to start reading there at verse number 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. In other words, he told a story. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse number 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be, or what does it mean? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Isn't that mean of the old devil? They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for which when for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Verse 15, but that which fell on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They keep it. In other words, they tend it. They take care of it, fertilize it, pull the weeds, and do what needs to be done to make sure that it will be able to grow unhindered. And they bring forth fruit with patience, or another word would be perseverance. And what that means is that they bring forth fruit continually. Over and over again, they bear and continue to bear fruit. Wouldn't that be a lot of trouble, all of you farmers, if you knew that if you planted a fruit tree, that after waiting for it for 8 or 10 years, that it's only going to have fruit 1 year? That wouldn't be good, would it? There'd be a whole lot less fruit going into fruit baskets, in the Christmas baskets. There'd be a whole lot less fruit to buy in the market if the trees didn't bring forth fruit on a continual basis. And we're going to preach to you and talk to you on this topic, the gift that keeps on giving. Let's ask the Lord to bless the word today. Jesus, we're so thankful already for everything that has happened to this point in the service. And we feel so rich. We feel so just increased by being here. We're happy about everything that has happened so far. And I pray that you would continue to inspire what is happening in our service and in this meeting through the word. In Jesus' name, amen. And I don't want to preach about all of the bad soil and all the bad seeds, because we don't have time to get into detail on all of those things. That a lot of times preachers get stuck talking about the negative side of things, and the next thing they know, their time's up, and they only have a few minutes to talk about the positive things. And I think we can address the negative things indirectly by focusing on the positive. I want to talk about the good ground, the honest and the good heart. I was looking on the internet and doing some research for this sermon, looking for some things, and I found out that there are some gifts that you can purchase on the internet. There's one gift called the oomph. or a oompa, or something like that. And Sister Mason wants to know what a oompa is. And I know everybody wants to know what a oompa is, and when you find out, you're all going to want a oompa for Christmas. But what it is a stuffed animal. That's just what you needed, was another stuffed animal for Christmas. Give me a pair of socks or something I can use, but Brother John Ray, another stuffed animal. But the beautiful thing about buying an oompa is that some of the money goes towards saving animals that are going into extinction out in the wild. And there's a whole list of things that you can buy. And your money doesn't just go into the gift, but it carries on. We spent some time, Pastor Spud and some of our saints spent some time yesterday handing out the Christmas baskets. And that is a really great, great, great gift. And a lot of you may not know how that all comes about. It takes a lot of planning and a lot of logistics to get enough food for a good Christmas meal for 250 to 300 families. It takes a lot of logistics. And Brother David helped me doing the potatoes, and he knows how much work. I don't know if his back still may be stiff today. I don't know. Probably not. He's too young for that. But his back was stiff that night, though. And there's a lot that goes into that. But what the Fairfield Area Minister Alliance tried to do this year was to keep the money circulating. And they've done different things. And last year we did angel food, but the money goes out of Fairfield. And this year we decided to keep the money in Fairfield. And we went to IGA. And some things were donated, but they bought most of the things at IGA and in this local area. And so the money that we spent for the food baskets, not only are the food baskets going to create a meal for needy families that can use a leg up, but the money also went into the local businesses, so it helped to provide for the wages of people that work in Fairfield. And what a lot of people don't know is a lot of the donations that come into Fairfield Area Ministerial Alliance are also donated by local businesses. The Clothesline donates to the Fairfield Area Ministerial Alliance, and they have a business that's going. And if you don't think about it, but you take that bag of clothes down to the clothesline, you don't think about, well, I'm going to help somebody get a shirt or get a pair of jeans at a decent price, and these don't fit me anymore, or I've upgraded my wardrobe or whatever. And you can bring that stuff to them, but you think, you know, I'm helping somebody get a pair of jeans, but you're also helping the Fairfield Area Ministerial Alliance pay for a Christmas basket that is in turn going to feed a family. That is the kind of gift that keeps on giving. The Career Development Center every year, Hands for the Handicapped, they make a very several thousand dollar donation to the Fairfield Area Ministerial Alliance, and they have their new to you shop, and they have a little business that they do, and they're giving people jobs and just being a blessing to the community, helping people. And you go, you take your old stereo or your old CRT TV out there, or your old computer, and you put it in there, or an old pack of Christmas cards that you didn't need, and that somebody will probably go try to buy. I don't know where that came from. That just came from. I can't talk about that because that was in a home group, wasn't it? I won't tell you that somebody in our home group bought Christmas cards. And but it's a blessing to the community. You don't think about it. You just drop that stuff off and it's out of your hair and your garage is clear and you can get your car in for a couple of months during the snow days or whatever. But that money is that somebody's going to buy that at a discount that you know really doesn't have the money to just go out and buy fancy expensive cards. And somebody else, and then in turn, they're going to take some of that money that you gave to them, and they're going to give it to the Fairfield Area Ministerial Alliance, and those thousands of dollars are going to go towards helping people pay their utility bills throughout the year. It's going to go towards putting gas in people's cars that are trying to get a leg up. It's going to go towards getting people groceries. It's going to go towards helping families to spend a night at the motel that their home is burned down and they're in an emergency situation like that. And it's also going to go towards purchasing a food bath. That's a gift that keeps on giving. And that's what I want to talk about today, is the gift that keeps on giving. They say that if you give a man a fish, that it will feed him for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, or a woman, that it will feed them for a lifetime. I was looking at some things on the internet as well. I'm a big internet guy, and I love to do research and find all kinds of interesting things. And I was reading about a couple named Jim and Karen and Sarah, and they are very wealthy people, and none of us in here have that problem, but they have a problem. They have more money than they know what to do with it. And these, a lot of these people that are very wealthy become philanthropists, and they start trust funds and help people and help different countries. And they have a fund that they have set up, the Haiti Relief and Reconstruction Fund. And with the tough economic times that the stock market has seen over the past several years, philanthropists are trying to get more bang for their buck. They're trying to get more use out of their money than just feeding people fish for a day. And they realize that countries like Haiti have had so many infrastructure problems that led to this terrible disaster. You have a country, Chile, that had a much larger and more damaging and dramatic earthquake than Haiti did, but with much more minimal damage and just a negligible amount of loss of life because they have the infrastructure set up. And even the sister country right there next to Haiti, is it Costa Rica? What's the country? There's two of them.
Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic, and they're right there on the same island together, but the Dominican Republic didn't see any of this kind of damage to the infrastructure. And so the philanthropists are saying, you know what, we need to give something that is going to not just be a one-time event, and then these people are left right back where they started. But we need to give to people in a way that is going to help them in the long term, help them in the long run. And so they have set a stipulation that only 25% of their donations will go towards initial disaster relief, but 75% of their donations are going to go towards infrastructure repair and trying to help change the culture so that people become more involved, that people become more educated, and they have things that they need that will not just bless them for a week or two, but that will carry through. And that is what we looked at today. And let me bring you into this for a minute, and I know that all of you are going to get some kind of a Christmas present this year. Something. And it's you know, we all have gotten those Christmas presents where you're like, that's really nice. And you're thinking, what am I going to do with this? You know, and you're thinking, how am I going to fit that on my knickknack shelf? And many of you have the seasonal thing going on. You have so many knickknacks that you have seasonal knickknacks. And you bring out the fall knickknacks, and then you bring out the Christmas knickknacks. And so you do good, and it's nice, and it's a thought that counts. But there's always that one gift that's in your mind, you know, the one that you never said that you wanted, that's the one that you really want. And there's always that one gift that you get, or maybe a couple of gifts that you get, that they don't just go on the shelf for decoration. They don't just go in the closet for next season. They don't just go at the bottom of the pile, or even, God forbid, they don't just go back to Walmart for a gift card. But there's always that one or two gifts that you get for Christmas that you're thinking, this is what I needed. And you can't wait for Christmas to be over so you can take your Christmas present and use it. Maybe, Brother Patrick, it's a brand new knife. The good one, you know what I mean? The one with the little etching in it, your name engraved in it. And you can't wait to get out in the barn or get out of the shop so you can put that Christmas present to use. Or it's a new tool, or ladies, it's a new kitchen utensil, or a new pair of shoes, or whatever it is. And it's those kind of gifts that you just appreciate and love because you just keep on giving. And I know some people that years ago, we were in New York and we bought some World Trade Center keychains. And this has been a few years ago, like 10 years ago. But I know the Sister Bailey, I was looking at her keychain the other day, And she still has her World Trade Center keychain on there. I gave that keychain to other people, but you know, it's probably in the bottom of their junk drawer with all of the other keychains that they got. But for some people, it means something. And God's word is exactly the same way. There is a gift that keeps on giving. And when God looked down on the earth and he saw the condition of mankind and he saw the trouble that we were in, and he said to himself, what can I do? You know, I created this beautiful earth. They have rainbows that they can see. And when the sun is out, you can still see the rainbow because I put these high, lofty clouds and I've created these six-sided hexagonal ice crystals that refract the sunlight and create beautiful sun dogs. And in the middle of the night, I give them lunar coronas that the moon is... How many of you got to see the lunar corona the other night? How many of you saw that? Brother Patrick called me on the phone. You got to go outside. And I'm like, why do I want to go outside? It's cold outside. You need to go outside and look at the moon. So I brought my camera out there, and Brother Clemens showed me how to take a picture in the dark of things, and I set that thing on a really long exposure, and I couldn't get the whole thing in there because it was so big. There's a huge halo around the moon. And they say that if there's a halo around the moon, then it's a sign of bad weather. And they say that if you count the stars that you can see that are in the halo, that's how many days it will be before bad weather. So Stacy, I was looking up on the internet, you know, I'm looking all up. Stacy ran outside and she comes back and says, there's two stars. So that means in 2 days we're going to have, well, let's see, that was Friday night. It is snowing outside, isn't it? God's like, I gave them the lunar corona so they could count and let them know. And actually they say there's science in that because they say when there is ice crystals that in those high clouds, that it's a sign of a low pressure system that's coming. It's a precursor to it. But anyway, I gave them the lunar corona so they can tell, Brother Davis, when there's going to have bad weather. You know, I mean, I've given so many awesome things. What can I do? They still don't get it. It's still just not clicking with them. And Jesus said to the Jews at one time, He said, you can discern the face of the sky and you can tell by the color of the sun in the clouds what the weather is going to be like. But how come it is that you cannot discern or understand that what I am doing in front of you right now is a sign from God? And God said, you know what I'm going to do? You know what they need? They don't need something else to surround them. They don't need some other beauty for them to look on. They don't need some better body. I mean, how amazing is the human body? I mean, everything that they need, they have. It's so perfect. But the problem is that their hearts are messed up. Because it's from an honest and a good heart. That's what people need. I need to go into their spirit. I need to take out that stony heart. And I need to put a new heart in them and a new heart of flesh. How am I going to do that? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them a gift that, praise God, 2,000 years later is still giving to mankind. I am going to give them the gift of my only begotten Son. That through Him, that anybody that will, the Bible says, whosoever, anybody that will, anybody that wants to, that will choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that they need Him for their salvation and they believe in Him by faith, that anybody through Jesus can be saved. Now that's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. And it's not like all of these other things that are just throwaways. It's not like all of these other things that wear out and get old. And so it is a gift that you and I can give to other people. It is the seed of the Word. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that you will ever receive and the greatest gift that you can ever give or share with anybody is telling them about the story of God's only Son coming into the earth, dying on a cross of Calvary, shedding His blood, and after 3 days of being in the grave, the Bible says He went down into the heart of the earth, and He went into the grave, into that place where all dead people are, where Satan had control because of sin, and sin is a missing of the mark and a disobedience to God's word. And all of the people of the earth were captured, that He went down and He got the keys to the prison of death. And He took them away from the devil, and He came back to life 3 days later. God brought back to life that dead body. And He appeared, the Bible says, unto His disciples and unto as many as 500 people at one time. Don't tell me it's not real, folks. God didn't just share His Son with a couple of few choice people. He shared Him with the whole nation.
Right.
He didn't, when He resurrected, just appear to a few chosen people. And He did do that. He was alive on the earth, the Bible says, for approximately 40 days after His resurrection. For 40 days, and appeared to as many as 500 people at once to show Himself alive. And they were so empowered by what happened to them that it triggered a tsunami of outreach, and they literally spread the seed of God's word all over the civilized world. And 2,000 years later, there are 1 billion people in the earth that believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all God needs is an honest and good heart that will hear the word and not just forget what they heard, that will hear the word and not think to themselves, I don't believe, that's a bunch of hogwash, it's just a fabled fairy tale. That will hear the word and not just go along happily, oh, I like this, you know. There's a lot of people like that in the earth. Oh, this, as long as everything's going good, they're happy to be Christians. That word needs a good and an honest heart, that when they hear it, they take care of it. When they hear it, they say, Brother John Ray, this is something that I can use. This is not just a Sunday only. This is not just a seasonal a gift that I take out and put away and until next year. This is something I can use every minute of the day. This is something that I will go with you, Jesus said, to the end of the age, to the end of time. I will be with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I will be your constant resource and support. I don't know about you, but I am thankful. I want my heart to be a good and honest heart. I want to take care of the gift that God has given me. Peter said, after 7 days, 7 to 10 days after that, Jesus ascended after His resurrection. He floated up in heaven and said, go away from me in Jerusalem. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you my spirit. And the Bible says on that day in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was a great Jewish celebration. Pentecost, it means 50 days after the Passover celebration. The sacrificial lamb, and that's when Jesus was crucified as well, becoming the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world, as was prophesied about Him, even planned from the foundations of the earth, the Bible says. And the Bible says His Spirit was poured out upon everybody that was gathered together, just like we are this morning. And they all begin to speak in tongues, and they all begin to, the Bible says there was even a flame that was floating over their head. Boy, that would be strange, wouldn't it? If everybody in here started speaking in tongues and you looked at your neighbor, Brother Davis, and they had one of those little welding arcs over their head, a little going off, now, that'd be kind of freaky, wouldn't it? That's what God gave to the world. He gave them His Spirit. Well, God doesn't do that anymore. Well, I beg to differ with you what God doesn't do anymore. Let me tell you something. God, the things that God did when He sent His Son into the earth through Jesus Christ, the healings and the miracles and all those amazing things, He was doing those things in the Old Testament thousands of years before that, and He's still doing them today because God doesn't change.
Amen.
unending giver. He doesn't give a gift to one group of people and one generation take it back. He said it's to all generations, to all people. He said this is the gift I'm giving you, to your children, to your children's children, to those who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then Peter said, hey God, and people started gathering in and they were like, man, that's where they got the term Holy Rollers from, I guess. I don't know. They came and said, man, we want to check out what these crazy people are doing. And they're over here. And they could actually understand what they were saying because they were speaking in different languages and different countries. And the people began to believe. We want to know what's going on. They felt the presence of God. They began to feel a tugging in their hearts of God's Holy Spirit. What is this gift? I want one of these too. This is not a Walmart midnight event here where we're lined up around the corner trying to get a $190, $198 laptop, and we're standing in line at 6 o'clock in the morning still with an armband waiting, oh, I hope I get my laptop. No, this is something totally different. They said, we want one of these. We want a rain check. We want whatever. The Bible says it's the latter rain. I'm not going to get into all that. I'm just getting these ideas coming to me. And they said, Peter said, this is what you got to do. You got to repent. You got to turn from your old lifestyle and start heading in the right direction. You're going down, and the light of heaven is casting a shadow on your path, and you can't see that you're heading in destruction. You need to turn around and face the light and start heading to the light. And you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which is the only way that anybody in the Bible was baptized. It was the only way that they baptized for over 200 years after Christ's ascension and his outpouring. That formula, of course, has been changed by the Catholic Church, and many churches today still hold with the Catholic tradition. But we believe in the name of Yeshua. We believe that that is the name that causes us to be saved. And we believe that in that name, all of the fullness of Godhead dwells bodily. And when you have Jesus, all of God comes with that. And then he said, you, and after you repent, after you've been baptized, and you can read this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he said, then you will be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit that keeps on giving. I'm glad to know that I have the gift of God's Holy Spirit today. You know what? So I get up and my car breaks down. You know what? I'm drawing from the Holy Spirit. God, who should I call? Call Brother Davis. Okay, I'm going to call Brother Davis. And he gives us a family. Not just our blood family, but he gives us a whole family of believers. And we can access resources around us. And we're there to help each other. And God guides us. And he talks to us. And he tells us what to do in every situation of our lives. We can draw from him when we're down, discouraged, when there's death and dying and loss and grief and sorrow in our lives. We can draw from that peace that passes understanding. When we're afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow, when the doctor tells us we're sick, or when we don't know if our children are going to do the right things or not, God calms us down and we can pray to him and put our trust in him. It's a gift that keeps on giving. When our grandchildren are born, when we grow old and we're no longer able to function like we used to, and we just feel like we're taking up space, but we can still reach out to him, and he talks to us, and he ministers to us. God never leaves us, and he says, don't worry, because this life is just a dressing room anyway. I'm getting ready to move you on to something that's much better. Amen. A land where there are no tears. A land where there is no sorrow, there is no dying, there is no night. There is no more pain. Now that's a gift that keeps on giving. Let's all stand together, if you would, for just a moment. I'm through with the message today. And I want us to just pray in our own way right now. And praying is just talking to God. How many of you have ever talked to God before? Talk to God because he wanted to. How many of you talked to God before because you felt like it was the last thing you had to talk to? Everybody knows how to pray. I don't care what you say. If you can talk on the phone this morning, you know how to pray. If you talk to your some of your family members this morning on the way to church, you know how to pray. Let's pray to God right now in our own way, and let's just thank God for the tremendous gift that He has given us of His Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, coming in the name of Your Father, coming to this earth, literally God dwelling inside of You, being born into a humble stable with animals and a manger with pungent hay. The greatest gift that God ever bestowed upon the earth was in that little manger, in that pungent, smelly stable that night. The greatest gift. Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, we call Him. For He shall save all people. The Bible says that through one man, Adam, sin came upon all the earth, and death by sin, and the curse and pain. And through one man, Jesus, came forgiveness and life. Thank You, God, for the gift of Your Spirit, literally Your breath in our hearts that keeps on giving. Day after day after day, mile after mile, Your gift keeps on giving to us. Trial after trial, Your gift keeps on giving. Oh Lord Jesus, if there's anybody here today that has never received this tremendous gift like they did on the day of Pentecost, that celebration of the harvest, and You are celebrating a harvest of souls, the first fruits, the beginning of a 2,000 year long campaign of good soil that would keep giving and giving and persevering. If there's anybody here today, God, that has never experienced the gift of Your Holy Spirit as they did in the Bible, as they did in the book, all throughout the book of Acts, responding to Your presence from the very depth of their heart and soul, I pray, God, that You, before this day, before this year, God, before their sometime in their life, in the very present future, would allow them to understand the seed that I have sown in the house today would fall on an honest and good heart, and that they would begin to study up on it themselves, and that they would begin to pray about it for themselves, and that they would begin to reach out to You for themselves, and that they would discover the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. Because You love the church and You gave Yourself for it. Oh God, and if any of us in here today have received the seed, but our soil is hard-packed, wayside soil, the pathways around the field, or it has fallen down in the ditch where the thorns and the briars are growing, or if it has fallen amongst the driveway areas where the rocks are, and God, I pray, Jesus, let some seed fall in a good place in our heart that will not die out or be stolen away or be choked out, but that will grow strong and healthy and bring the life of Your Spirit and the fruits of Your Spirit as spoken of in Galatians to that church in that city. You wrote that letter about the fruits of the Spirit. God, I pray that the gift of Your Spirit will give forth fruits in our lives this year and the year to come. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Would you just pray for a few more moments in your own way? It's 11:31. We have